covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
One run? That's it? That's all it took? Just one run? Okay, then. Giants take game three of this four-game series, 1-0 over the Brewers. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. Back in person today. Good to be here with you, Augie. And, well, I came all the way back from Philly for this. I'm just kidding. But the way that I look at this game is, I've said this before over and over on the show. I know you've heard me say this. Brewers fans know the difference between poor offense and great pitching. For seven innings, this was great pitching.
Absolutely.
For the last two, it was poor offense. So I think both can exist at the same time. I want to first give kudos to Logan Webb because I thought he was fantastic. And Robert Gasser and Chad Patrick deserved a better fate than they got. But hey, generally when you give up one run in the major leagues, you're going to win that game. Today was not that day because Logan Webb was that good.
You know, you get these pitchers in the big leagues when they have that reference of being one of the best top pitchers in the game of baseball. You watch how they go about their job, and a lot of times they not only control the strike zone, they control the pitch count and what they want to do. Logan Webb is one of those guys who's a little bit different. He calls his own game. You don't see it a lot. And this is a young man that goes out there and he understands, is he overpowering? No. But what he does, he takes his pitches and he utilizes them to efficiency. One time he threw four straight changeups in a row. And he's the type of guy that knows how to command the strike zone, keep the hitters off balance, stay off the big part of the hitter's bat. And I just thought, you watch these guys pitch and you get a clinic and you can really learn from them. On the other side, flip that over, Gasser was out to prove something tonight. And I tell you what, I thought tonight was a step up from the last time. I thought he had more control of all his pitches. I really liked that he went to more of a short cutter than the cutter all the times, and I thought he threw the ball very well.
You know, I look at a couple of at-bats from Robert Gasser today, and Pat Murphy talked about it pregame today, saying, hey, he just needs to throw strikes. Your stuff needs to work in the zone in the major leagues. You cannot survive by everything being strike to ball, meant to be deceptive and meant to get you to chase. That just doesn't work against the best hitters in the world. You need to have a mix of both, and today we saw that mix of both. There were two at-bats that I circled here that I think you would, you know, appreciate and understand, yes, this is where we're seeing growth. First at bat of the game, honestly.
Right.
When he falls, you know, it goes into a 3-2 count after getting ahead of him 1-2. He fouls off a pitch, and on the seventh pitch, he gets Casey Schmidt to fly out. And, okay, that could have easily been a leadoff walk to start the game,
right,
and then the spiral starts to go. The other thing I look at is after the infield hit again from Schmidt to load the bases in the third inning, you got two outs, and you got the two guys that have a knack for contact in Rafi Devers and Luis Arraez. Now, I know Rafi was 0-for-7 coming into the series with seven strikeouts into today's game, but he gets him to pop out on the first pitch and gets Arraez to ground out weakly. I thought that is exactly what Pat Murphy was talking about. Trust your stuff in the zone. You can get outs even when you're not nibbling and trying to get guys to chase.
Yeah, and I thought one of the things, and when you throw that all together and having that ability to command the strike zone like he did tonight, I thought his fastball up was really paid big dividends for him tonight. He got a couple of strikeouts up there. He had fall the ball off, and then he was able to go back down with that breaking ball. And I thought every once in a while he did throw that big slider, which gets a little big for him. It gets out of whack, but he came right back and he cut it down a little bit, threw a little bit more of a cutter, and it became very efficient to me. But I thought he commanded strike zone real well. When he needed to go with a pitch and add a little extra, he got the ball up in his zone and was very effective.
I think that what made Gasser click today, I mean, it sounds so trivial and so obvious, right, is getting first pitch strikes. But not only was he getting first pitch strikes, he was getting first pitch swings.
That's right.
First pitch swings and misses, first pitch outs. So suggesting that, okay, my stuff is, you know, moving enough and tricky enough for them to pick up that they're not getting quality contact on it. Even swings and misses on it. He was riding the top rail quite a bit. Used that cutter, I thought, very effectively against righties today. It's an important step in the right direction for Robert Gasser today because, let's face it, the Brewers are in this sort of prove-it mode now of the season where you know you've got Miz, you know you've got Harrison. Woodruff threw alive today, but They're going to baby him and take their time with him.
That's right.
Who's that third? Who is that third guy who is going to rise up and say, I'm the third guy? I mean, you could say in a way it's Chad Patrick. You could say in a way it's some combination of a bullpen game of Drouin, Patrick, and Ashby. But if you're in a seven-game series in a postseason game, it's way early to be talking about this, but the truth is, who's that third guy? And Robert Gasser, I don't know if he is that third guy yet, but at one point the Brewers thought of him being that third guy, and they thought highly enough to keep him on the NLCS roster last year. There are still a lot of fans of Robert Gasser in this clubhouse, and I think today was really important to get him back to that guy.
It was a big game for him. You know, you go into games, and we always talk about it, and every once in a while he faced 18 guys and had 14 first pitch strikes. I think a little bit different with Robert Gasser tonight and saying, hey, it is about throwing strike one, getting the ball over the plate. But there's something, sometimes you go in a game and that other team, you've got to prove something. First pitch not only becomes get it over for a strike, but becomes a purpose pitch. That's where you go in, you get this, that little cutter where you get a swing and a miss, or you throw it to a good zone. You don't go up out of zone. You try to throw that pitch in a good zone where you get a strike and it's a good quality pitch. And every once in a while you go out with that frame of mind that, hey, I'm not just going to throw the ball over the plate. I'm going to make that pitch a purpose pitch that's going to set up the next pitches that I use. And I thought he did a very, very good job at that tonight.
And it's unfortunate that he gets saddled with the loss in one. Logan Webb was that good on the other side, carrying a no-hitter into the seventh inning until Bryce Durang punched a single the other way. Heck, it was perfect through five for Logan today before a leadoff walk to Sal Frelick in the sixth. And then we also got to give kudos to Chad Patrick because, you know, as we shift over to the offense in the next segment, Chad Patrick, despite two walks, he struck out four. He dealt with traffic really all night long, but once again, we saw him attacking. We see this different version of Chad Patrick out of the bullpen as of late.
Yeah, you go to see the way he throws the ball. He's got so much confidence in the pitches and the location that he throws those pitches. He'll use all those pitches. Every once in a while, you'll see him use the curveball a little bit, but he'll throw that cutter. That cutter's his big pitch, and locating that fastball is so good. He's one of those guys where, you know what? He's made the bullpen better, and he's one of those guys when we call expand the strike zone with a pitch, well, he expands the bullpen longer. It makes it that much better. You now add him in there and see what he's done, like he did tonight for four innings, was just outstanding, commanding the strike zone, making big pitches when he needed to, and he just seems like he's got a little bit more aggressiveness in his pitches when he does. He's not rather than just trying to command a ball to a certain place, he says, I'm going to command a ball, and it's going to be there for a purpose, like I just said a little bit earlier, and he really does a nice job of that.
And it really all started against the Yankees, series on May 9th. I mean, since that day when he was put into the bullpen, and there was a spot starting here too, of course, against St. Louis, but 18 and two-thirds innings, just one earned run allowed. Only four walks and 18 strikeouts, too, for Chad
Patrick.
That's
commanding the strike zone. He's so good at it. When you can see a little calmness in him. Like, he's out there, and it's almost like we talk about what do you do? How can you help yourself on the mound? You slow the game down a little bit. Sometimes you increase that tempo when you need to. But for him, I think getting out there, and you see him coming out of that bullpen, just that little slightness of slowing himself down and understanding what he needs to do for throwing a strike has really made a big difference.
It's been huge. We've got the good out of the way. Now we got to get to the bad. The Brewers did get shut out in this game. It's not all rainbows and butterflies out here. Brewers fall 1-0 to the Giants. They still have the upper edge in the series. They go for the series win tomorrow afternoon. But we'll talk about what's going on with this offense. A little odd. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Do a little hot and cold. Brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. Get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. You can call or visit Sider.com today, Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. We'll get to the phone lines in just a moment. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. How many ways can you say it? They had three hits tonight. I mean, you're not going to win many games that you have three hits. There's easy ways to analyze these post-game shows, and it's, yeah, hey, up that number. That's kind of as simple as it gets, right? I mean, it's one of those nights where the offense did not play well.
You know, you take a veteran pitcher, and I always like to watch the way they go in the game, and it looks like what Logan Webb came into the game saying, there's three guys that are – there's three or four guys that are just swinging the bat out of this world right now. And, you know, and that's in Yelly. It's Yelly, Chirio, Turang, and Contreras. They're guys – those are the guys that can hurt me. And I think he gave a lot of attention that he was not going to give in. He understood what he had to do, and he felt that if he could get past those guys, get them off balance and keep them off the bases, that good things were going to happen, and he did just that. That's that veteran pitcher that we talk about, being able to control his game and understand it, using the off-speed stuff, adding someone you have to, throwing his cutter when he has to, using his changeup effectively, staying down in the zone. He did all – when you put all those adjectives out there, he did all that tonight. And so sometimes you just have to give credit, especially when you see the way those guys hit the ball the first two games in the series.
I mean, you also look at it, he does it in a throwback way where it's ground ball
right,
in play, you know, command oriented. I mean, he only had 8 swings and misses tonight. I mean, it's, yeah, not like he's overpowering you, like you said. And he cuts it, he sinks it, he changes it, and it's very, very effective. And I thought a big moment, actually, too, was when the game was still perfect and it was 1-0 Giants, when it was 3-0 on Jake Bowers.
Yes.
And that was the first mistake of the game, in my opinion, not by Bowers, but by Logan Webb. But because there's just enough movement and because there's just enough to get you,
yeah,
off the barrel, that was a middle sinker. But
yeah, lucky. He
it
got
had
away with
just
it.
Enough,
yep,
that it turns into a rollover grounder.
Yeah,
that was
did.
The moment, in my opinion.
Yeah, he did. You know, you make those mistakes. You try to figure out what you have to do. But he just had enough, just a little bit, to get that off stride and make him roll the ball over there. But, you know, he threw the ball so well. And then every time he needed to make a pitch, he made that pitch. And I was that one time when I think he threw 3 or 4 changeups in a row. He just doesn't give in. And then what he'll do, he'll sink the ball after with a little bit of velocity right on the black. It's so, these guys are so under control. That's why they're as good as they are. They understand what they have to do. They're going to locate it. And when they know that the opponents, there's guys on that opponent team that can hurt them, boy, they step up when those guys are at the plate.
Yep, absolutely. Let's get to the phone lines here, then we'll talk about what went wrong in that 8th inning. Let's get to George in Pewaukee. George, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, but you're talking about something I was calling in about. I understand how good the pitching. Yeah, I understand how good the pitching was tonight. There's no doubt about that. But in the 8th inning with Chirio on and nobody out, I almost put my hand through the TV set and said, why are you pinch hitting a minor league hitter by all standards, batting .092, and replacing him with Sal Frelick, who's 4 for his last 9. He's your everyday right fielder. If I was Sal Frelick, I would be so irate getting pitch in for a guy like that. As a ticket-paying fan, I'm sick and tired of watching Blake Perkins play baseball.
Yeah,
and to
I
put
understand.
Sanchez in the same inning, he's your next worst hitter on the team. I don't care who's pitching.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty there, George. I think the first thing, though, is I agree. I was a little perplexed by Perkins being the choice if he's just going to go up there to bunt, right? If it's like his better side is the,
yep,
right side,
yep,
right? That's the whole point of why you want that split. But at the same time, if he's just going up there to bunt, and I think the theory from Murph's side is, well, he's going to go in defensively anyway, and,
yeah,
also that, you know, maybe you get an opportunity where he swings back. I personally, I'm not the manager. He maybe feels Blake's a better bunter than Sal. That's something for them to decide. My scouting report doesn't read that. But I think the bigger thing, though, too, in that inning was not so much that Gary pinch hit and bounced into an AMA double play. I would have pinch hit Gary, just not there. I would have pinch hit Gary for Renjifo.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because that, yeah, guarantees he faces a left-handed pitcher with the 3-batter minimum.
And that's what you want. When you have a guy like Gary Sanchez and you want to use his abilities to the best, that's where you kind of go with it. I think he just got maybe a player or two earlier than he would. But, you know, you make decisions. You make decisions and you have guys on the team and you got to apply pressure. You got to find out what they can and cannot do. And every once in a while you make a decision saying that, you know what, this guy has done it in the past. I'm going to give him that opportunity to step up and do something to help our ball club. And I think that's what he was doing with Perkins, and it just didn't work out. There's our chances that you're going to get, but I agree with the caller that Sal has just been, and he, you know, he's one of those guys, you got to get a ball down. He's going to get the ball down. And he's a good bunter. He's a good contact hitter. But I think in that case, he was just thinking, maybe if he was thinking defense, I think more so he was just challenging him to see if Perkins could come up and do the job that he needed to do.
Yeah, I hate playing armchair manager. Yeah, I really
so
do.
Hard.
You
it
know,
is
you've
so
listened
hard.
To me for years.
Because there's no bad moves. Every once in a while, you can challenge moves like we do.
Right.
But there's options to every move. I just think that's what he was doing. He was challenging Perkins in that situation.
And then furthermore, give kudos to Renifo. He didn't expand his zone. He drew a four-pitch walk.
Yeah,
he kept the inning going. And then they went to Gary for Hamilton, which then forced the righty to come into the game and win, and then he ended up getting the save. But I think that's kind of the game within the game matchups where they felt Renifo batting right-handed. Ultimately, he drew a walk, I understand. Ultimately, they felt Renifo batting right-handed against a lefty was a better opportunity, knowing they were going to go right on right with Wynn versus Sanchez. Wynn's got reverse splits. He's really good against righties. So I thought that, you know, maybe that was an error in judgment. Doesn't matter because he bounced into a double play. We'll never know for sure. But really, the ninth inning is honestly more frustrating, is because you get a leadoff double and you've got the top of the order coming up and you get him over to third. Bryce, he's been so good all season long. He's been cold for the last 3 weeks or so. Fails to get the ball in play with the infield in, and then ultimately William grounds out.
Yeah, I tell you, I thought in that inning, I thought when he after Yelly hit that double, I thought Wynn stepped up and made some really, really good pitches. And it was a time where he had to really reach back and get a little bit. They brought the infield in. He had to get something soft on the ground, but I thought at that time he stepped up, and when he had to, especially on trying, I thought he made some really good pitches on Bryce that were tough to hit, but good location. Good pitches in a tough situation. He stepped up right there.
And then the topic becomes, and I feel for Blake Perkins right now. It's a common thread on the text line right now, too, of just it hasn't been there for Blake this season, right? We've got, you know, all 2 months plus of data now, and he came up when Churio had his hand broken at the start of the year, and it wasn't great. Then he had to go back down. Then he come right back up when Lockridge got hurt. And I feel for Blake Perkins because obviously he has not been the same since he fractured his leg last year. Everything that went on with him off the field last year, too. And as Lockridge continues to rehab himself back, you've got competition happening down in AAA right now with somebody like a Luis Lara who's trying to convince the Brewers, I'm ready to be a big leaguer. I feel for Blake. He's dealing with that off the field. And at the end of the day, when you're asked to get down a bunt and you didn't do it, those voices in the back of your head are going to get louder. And I hope that, you know, he can battle through that. Everybody wants everybody to succeed, but at a certain point that maybe that decision will be coming when Lockridge returns.
Those are the little things that make you a big leaguer.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're that guy that's right, you're going to be that fill-in player, you're going to come and play good, strong defense, which he does. He does a great job on the defense side of the ball, and he does put the ball in play at times. Those little things that you do on either on the defensive side of making that good throw to a good base or getting the bunt down or moving a runner over, those are so important for these style players that they have to – that's their job. That's their number one job is, we'd love for them to get a hit, but if you don't get the hit, you got to do the little things you have to do in order to be a major league player. And those are things that today with the bunt didn't quite work out.
Yeah, easy pick for who's cold right now. We will step aside. I see two callers on the line. I got to hit a break. I'll get back to these callers on the other side of the break. Brewers fall 1-0 to the Giants right here on 620 WTMJ. Couple of texts, couple of calls here in our last segment with Jerry Augustine. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. From Doug, almost every time the Brewers face a good or, in this case, great pitcher, this is what happens. Well, hey, Doug, that's why they're great pitchers. They do that not just to the Brewers. They do that to a lot of other teams. That's why they're great pitchers. They can pound bad ones, certainly not good ones, won't work in the playoffs. I disagree. I think that you ran into a good arm today. It happens. The reason why the greats are great is because they do it a lot. Like they get other big league teams out too. It's not just an isolated thing to the Brewers. I mean, I ask how everybody feels about facing Jacob Mazurowski right now.
That's right.
Facing Kyle Harrison right now.
That's
like
right.
It's the same thing. Jeff from Elkhorn, great job by Gasser and Patrick. Only using two guys bodes well for tomorrow. Lack of execution really hurt us today. Lack of bench punch is concerning. I agree. That's a good take there, Jeff. Two observations from Mark. As good as the Giants' pitching is, not allowing opponent base runners until late in the game, how did the crew manage to win the first two games? Because they hit the ball hard. It was fun these first two games. And as good as the Giants' pitching is, how do they not have a better record than they do? That is the million-dollar question right now that they're trying to figure out in San Francisco. Let's get back to the phone lines. Dante's been waiting patiently. Dante from Milwaukee, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, so I was just actually curious. How do you feel, like, what do you think would have changed if we got that bunt down in the eighth?
That's a good question. I think that you now set up an opportunity where, we were saying, maybe Gary hits there, especially
then
with runner on second, and then one out, Gary's not going to hit into a double play. You're guaranteed him against the lefty. That's why I'm still so shocked they didn't do it. Now, I think the reason they didn't do it is because they wanted Redenhefo's defense late in the game in case this game got tied and was going to extra.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if he gets the bunt down, it changes the whole idea of what you do. And you want to get Gary up against that left hand pitcher. He's so aggressive and he hits the ball so well against a lefty. You're getting the situation that you desire to get in that time of the ball game. And it didn't work out because the bunt wasn't down.
Yeah, and regardless if it was a bunt, if the runner gets the second with one out,
it changes it.
Then that's Gary's right. Probably coming up there, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And to be fair, I can see the sentiment on both sides saying, well, Gary hasn't done anything lately. And you're absolutely right about that. He's 0-7, now 0-8 as a pinch hitter this season. Something's got to give. You got to play the numbers in the long run, saying he's hitting over .330 against lefties. I mean, like, this is your chance. Like, this is what you're here to do. Didn't work out. You win or you lose, you move on, and it's no big deal. But appreciate the call there, Dante, on that front. Let's get to Lyric. Lyric from Milwaukee, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings. Lyric. We got you. You're live. Make sure you turn down your radio. All right. Last chance. Three. All right. We're going to drop. We're going to move on. Sorry, Lyric. But the other thing about today's game, Augie, to me, little things that could easily be overlooked from a 1-0 game. Defense was sneaky good tonight. William with another caught stealing. Renhifo was actually very solid at third base today. Bowers had a little bit of an adventure early in the game in left field, but he was fine.
Yeah, he did.
Terang made some great picks at second.
Unbelievable.
I mean, little things like that. Again, they're not going to gain outs above average. You're not going to make top 10 plays on SportsCenter. But sometimes the difficult plays, the Giants committed 2.5 errors. They changed one of those games from yesterday. Giants committed 2 errors yesterday.
And changed the game.
It changed the game. Today, the Brewers did not allow extra base runners. Kept this a 1-0 game as long as they could.
Their defense is just so good, and you look at what they do. And I thought the strike them out, throw them out was a big part. It's huge because those are things that you take Contreras. He loves that. I liked it after he threw out, he was all pumped up. But that's what they like to do. They like to play strong, good defense. And some of the plays Terang made tonight was just it's unbelievable. If he's not the best second baseman in baseball, I don't know who is, because he just does it day in and day out, just makes plays that you never thought they were going to be made. He makes it look so easy.
It was very fun to watch the defense on both sides, quite frankly.
Yes.
In this game. Brewers Extra Innings in part is brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. Now, I just want to do a quick buy or sell with you, because this week, and I'm going to talk about this more in tomorrow's Brewers Weekly, since we don't have a post-game show tomorrow, but I have the podcast tomorrow. This week, a lot of national coverage was given to the Brewers about trying to link them to Tarik Skubal. And I am so firmly in the sell category on making a trade for Tarik Skubal. I know we just talked about who's your third guy and all this stuff. Here's why. All those people who are saying the Brewers should trade for Tarik Skubal are being lazy. They didn't watch the Brewers in October last year. They're not watching the Brewers right now. They say, who's the best player available at the deadline? Tarik Skubal. Who's got the number one farm system? The Brewers. They should make a trade. It doesn't work like that because the Brewers need offense. Tarek Skubal does not hit the ball over the fence. That's what the Brewers need right now. I am selling that so hard that to stay above the clickbait, I do not see Tarek Skubal being a target for the Brewers this trade deadline.
I think anytime when you talk about this organization, they always go out and they try to see any way they can make this organization better. I think with the way they look at it now, they're really happy with their pitching staff the way it is. They get Woody back, and they get everybody back. They get Jared Koenig back in that bullpen. That bullpen's electric. I tell you what, you don't win pennants and don't go to World Series unless you have a great bullpen. That bullpen's going to only get better when Jared Koenig gets back. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at this team, it's the offensive side. If they can improve themselves in any way, it's got to be on the offensive side. If they can find somebody, whether he's an everyday player, a guy coming off the bench, or a guy that they can put there that can be a force for this club and hit the ball at a ballpark, put the ball in play, I think they'll make a move like that.
Yeah, June is the evaluation period.
That's right.
You got to figure out, what do you need? And then July is you find out who are going to be the suitors, right?
Yep.
Who is going to actually have guys available? Who's going to actually hold on to their assets? Because in June, it's too early to say, oh, we're going to sell. And now maybe a team like the Giants, teams like the Tigers, they know they're probably going to need to sell given how far back they've already dug themselves, or a team like the Mets has already dug themselves into a hole. But June, you figure out, okay, what do you actually need? And then July, you find out who can you get it from. And trade deadline's a little later this year. It's August 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. So you've got really, if you make a trade deadline day move for a pitcher, you're getting 8 starts and then the postseason item, which impacts the price of whatever you end up getting, whether it be pitching, whether it be offense. So that's just something to keep in mind.
You know, there's so much there, though. You know, when we look at this, you know, you got Pratt and you got Jet Williams you talk about, and Lira. I mean, Lira's tearing the cover off the ball in AAA, and these guys are just sitting there. Which direction do you go? You know, this team is playing really well, and there's guys that are helping this team out. But how can we make this team better? And that's a really going to be a tough question. Are you going to say, hey, can I make a little trade? Can I get a player that can be a little bit of an impact player on this offense on a daily basis to help us out, maybe hit a couple home runs, put the ball in play, whatever you have to do? Or am I going to take a chance and I'm going to bring those young kids up, and are they going to make us better? That is a really difficult situation to be in, but it's a good situation, and you got to make that choice. What do I do there? And I know you've been so high on Jet Williams and the other guys on there, and Lira, who's tearing the cover off the ball. It's going to be interesting to see what this organization does. Like you said, that month of June is going to be pretty interesting, and some of the moves they could make could be very interesting.
And the rest of June, you face some really quality opponents
Yes, you do.
Once you get through the Rockies and the A's. So
that's right.
That's something to keep in mind. A good text here. Get Jeremy Pena. That's an interesting proposition. Shortstop for the Astros. He's got a year remaining, though. He's not a free agent until after next season.
Year.
So it's like now you're blocking Cooper and Jed.
That's
and,
right.
You know, you're thinking, I don't know, but you never know. Crazier things have happened. Again, the Astros also feel like they're still alive, that you know they're going to get their pitching back in their eyes, and the AL West is such, and the American League as a whole is kind of a mess right now. It's all very squish, but you'll find out what you got so far. But Augie, appreciate you as always, and thanks for stepping in this week, and I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point on this West Coast
trip. Interesting. I'll tell you what, the one thing the Brewers have done very well this series, the big four of over and the Giants are 7-41. They pitched those guys very, very well, and if they can do it tomorrow, hopefully we can win the series, and that's what it's all about. Winning series.
They've kept Devers down. It's been very impressive. And the Brewers try to win 3 out of 4 against the Giants. Doesn't matter who it is. It's Major League Baseball. It's impressive to win series. Jerry Augustine knows it. Thanks for joining us here on the show.
Oh, it's great being with you.
All right. We'll get to some more texts. We'll hear from Murph a little bit later. I would play highlights, but there aren't any highlights. The Brewers lost 1-0 today. Back here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Tough to pick a player of the game. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. I mean, if you want to go on the other side, it's easy. It's Logan Webb. Also, haven't even mentioned the reason the Giants got a run. First big league homer for Victor Barrichello. Congratulations to him. 24-year-old, he got the ball. So, fun moment for him. Not so much for the Brewers. For the Venezuelan outfielder, checking a lifelong dream off today, hitting a homer in a big league stadium. But player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive it a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. We'll get to some more texts. Let's get to the phone lines, though, first. Let's roll on here and check on Austin. Austin from West Bend, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
say, so I was just thinking, like, I follow the Coors organization, and I was thinking we should pull up some prospects. I don't know if you think that would be a good idea. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that I've been on the bandwagon of Jet Williams really since spring training, and I think that he's cooled off a touch here at the end of May and into the first week of June, but the thing that the Brewers are always going to do is whenever they're calling up a kid, whenever they're calling up a prospect, they want him to play, and they want them to learn what it takes to be a big leaguer, right? I think that's part of the reason why you don't see somebody like Jefferson Caro up right now. They know he's going to be a part of this future catching core moving forward. But when you got William Contreras, who wants to catch 5-6 days a week, how do you get Caro in there to get the proper reps? Get him down in AAA, playing every day, see what his body goes through, keep him healthy. That's why they're holding off there. Now, the other thing that maybe the Brewers don't want me to talk about, but this is the truth, they're not the only ones that deal with this. The Super 2 day is coming up in the next 10 days or so. Super 2 means you get a full extra year of avoiding having to pay arbitration. I'm not trying to say this is, oh, the Brewers are definitely suppressing. No, that's not what I'm saying they're doing. They're not the only ones that deal with this. Everybody knows it. It's a date on the calendar in the baseball season based on how much service time you can acquire and all this stuff. The point being, that comes up in a factor in when you call up players. And the other thing is that the Brewers are still 15 games above 500 without those prospects too, and they know they've left some offense out there on a table. But it is a good question. I think we are getting closer to finding out, and I'll remind everybody, my take is that at least one of the three of Williams, Pratt, or Lara, at least one of them will be up by the end of this month. I just really believe that the Brewers are getting to a point where they need to create something, even if there may not be anything there. Somebody that's more part of the future could deserve some more at-bats. But a good question from Austin. Let's get to Nick. Nick from New Berlin, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hi, Dom. Was at the game tonight. Even though we lost, I think it was a win that we were able to get through. Two pitchers in the game sets up for our finale tomorrow, I guess. But I wanted to ask about Brant Anderson because I feel like he's not getting enough respect, and I think he deserves to pitch in more high leverage situations.
That's a good question, and it's a great observation by you. You've been listening to me for a while then, because I've been trying to tell folks Grant Anderson is a very, very, very useful right-handed pitcher for what the Brewers have done. He pitched great on, what was it, Friday night in Houston in that tight game while the Brewers made their comeback into extra innings. I mean, you would think that this guy has a 9 ERA based on how people talk about him on social media. He's appeared in 24 games this season, 24 innings even, a 2.59 ERA. We don't love ERA for relievers. We love whip. He's got an under 1 whip and a 1.98 batting average against. Okay, again, these are very rudimentary numbers. You know me as a numbers guy. Grant Anderson's role is to bridge. Grant Anderson's role is to, oh, you got a window of righties coming up? Here, let's change their lineup. Maybe they'll bring in a lefty against me. I've still got this backdoor sweeper that can work to them. Grant Anderson, you're absolutely right. It's a great reclamation project. I think that the Brewers are sort of in this spot where, you know, in a 1-0 game, they had a fresh bullpen. They had a fresh Chad Patrick ready to go. They wanted to use him as long as they could. Good question there. Good observation there. Appreciate the call. A couple of texts that I've rolled in here. What's going on with the June 13th TV situation? Is Brewers TV carrying it? Is it FS1? Is it Fox? Do the Brewers TV lose another game? So here's what's going on. Next Saturday against the Phillies, it is no longer a national exclusive. It is now back on Brewers TV. Fox flexed out of that game to then pick up a Thursday game, Brewers-Cubs at Wrigley, the first week of September. So, all three games against the Phillies are on Brewers.TV, but remember, every game's right here on WTMJ, just a reminder on that. But yes, if you're somebody who syncs up your television, yes, Brewers TV, all three games against the Phillies next week. This one from the 920, wasn't a great night for the offense, but there wasn't a ton of whiffs. A lot of good at-bats and opportunities, especially late, oof. But still competed their tails off offensively. The fact they were being no-hit through six, and I still had no doubt they were going to win against a major league team with their 6th or 7th starter and a long reliever speaks to how good the pitching depth is in this organization. We're going to see some of that depth again tomorrow. Coleman Crowe will get the ball against these Giants. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, up next on 620 WTMJ. I've been talking plenty. Brewers offense, a little meh tonight. 855-616-1620 for some last second texts. Let's hear from the manager, though, Pat Murphy, after today's defeat.
Guys have to come off the bench in big spots. Do you feel like there are some guys struggling in that role right now? And how does a guy who's in that role get out of it in just a few at-bats?
Tell me who you're talking about. I don't.
Well, Perk not getting that one. And Gary is just in a prolonged stretch of just, you know, the hits are higher.
Yeah, but this is Major League Baseball. Gary's been in the league how many years? Gary has done incredible things in this league. He's been a really good player, and he's been clutch in that situation before. Yeah, it was the right. I mean, I hope you're not suggesting that it wasn't the right move there to put Gary in there. But yeah, it was our best chance to come up with something big there. And I trust Gary. I trust him and use him again. I'd do that 100 out of 100 times. So it's the right-hander against Gary, or, you know, the lefty against Hamilton. So
less questioning the decision to do it, but just him not, it doesn't seem like he's had the success lately.
Yeah, he's probably only done it 6 or 7 times, right? He had a really good start to the year, swinging the bat, hit 5 home runs for us. You know, it's just a matter of time it'll happen. Churio was great at it. Perk didn't get the bunt down. That's inexcusable. He has been swinging the bat really good right-handed. I figured if we get that bunt down, that's the job. If he doesn't get the bunt down and he lives for another day, or he fouls it off or whatever, he's been swinging the bat.
You mentioned pregame, had to, you know, throw strikes, cut down the walks, just the one day. What would you like to look you saw from him?
Yeah, I mean, he was great. He was great from the first inning on. He controlled the zone. He was, I thought, a great version of himself. Chad Patrick was magnificent as well. That was a well-pitched ball game. One pitch, and everything else. They were really good and pitched. And Gas had some traffic and pitched out of it very well. You know, really proud of him.
Better command from Gas. Yeah. Was today a step forward?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was really good. Throwing the ball in the zone, attacking hitters, using all three, really four, but three of them working really well. And yeah, it was great performance on his part, great performance on Chad Patrick. Yeah, we just didn't get the big hit at the big time, and credit to Webb. As good as he is, he was dominant. It was a dominant pitching performance.
And Gasser as well. There's been a couple of plays, Ryan as well. Just get
I mean,
out of the situation.
Our defense was great tonight for the most part. One little miscue on a miscommunication, catcher pitcher. Other than that, you know. We, like you said, Terang, Rengifo made a couple plays. Terang made a couple beautiful plays.
On Gasser, you kind of challenged him about being aggressive in the zone. When those conversations happen, how does he respond to that sort of challenge?
No, he understands. You know, he gets it. We're all, I mean, the thing is, these guys all understand. You know, we're technically in first place, but we're not looking at that. We're trying to get better. And we've got some real significant pitching injuries. And we all know, we trusted our youth, and we trusted we made some trades for some great young pitching prospects. But they were rookies, or a little better than rookies in terms of service time, and we trusted that. So if you're a young pitcher here, we're not out signing free agent pitchers to come in here. We're trusting our process, and Gasser's part of our plan. You got to execute, you got to attack the zone. So he went out and did that today. I'm very happy, and he should be very happy.
He absolutely should, and I hope he gets another chance. It'll probably be in Vegas, in the PCL Las Vegas ballpark, as the Brewers get ready to face the A's out there. We'll explain that, give you the upcoming schedule, and a look at tomorrow's matchup. Old friend on the mound on the other side. Stay with us. Our final segment of Brewers Extra Innings after this on 620 WTMJ. All right, there's another one tomorrow. And it's back to the summertime daytime first pitches. 1:10 tomorrow afternoon. We'll be on the air at 12:35 with the On Deck Show, built by Menards. Lane Grindle, Josh Maurer on the call. No postgame tomorrow, but at 8 o'clock on WTMJ, it's the taped version of my Brewers Weekly podcast, available on YouTube on ESPN Milwaukee first thing Friday morning. So check that out on the video side of things as well. We'll be in the clubhouse after the game tomorrow. I've got plenty of trade talk, as we had that little mini teaser there about the Tarik Skubal stuff. Like, who's actually out there? Who are we actually monitoring? Could help this team around the trade deadline if it's not an internal candidate, right? We're kind of suspending reality of how the Brewers operate. And oh, by the way, All-Star balloting just opened. Go vote. Do it. You can vote for position players. Pitchers are, you know, all done by the league and by the coaches, but go vote. All-Stars, do it. Make sure Bryce Terang's a starting second baseman for the National League, because he absolutely deserves it. And vote for all the rest of your favorites. William Contreras can certainly get a nod. Jake Bowers, why not? Send him to the All-Star game. Send him to Philly. That would be very, very cool. Now, the upcoming rotation. Coleman Crow gets the ball tomorrow, finally making a start at home. His first three big league outings have been on the road. He's up against old friend, Yo Adrian. Adrian Hauser, 2-5, 5.59 ERA for the sinker baller. Then the Brewers are off to Colorado, and the elevation will be interesting. It will be Brandon Sproat on Friday against righty Ryan Feltner. On Saturday, it'll be the Miz up against Tanner Gordon, another righty. And then on Sunday, Southpaws. Shane Drouin for the Brewers, making his second consecutive start in the rotation. And Kyle Freeland, longest tenured Rocky, on the other side in Colorado. No starters yet for Vegas, as the Brewers will be playing the A's. But keep in mind, for all of these games next week, not tomorrow though, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll have Late Night with the Brewers for Brewers Extra Innings, reacting to all of it here on WTMJ. And if you don't want to stay up late with us, don't worry. They're always podcasted. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. So, hope that all helps you out getting ready for next week. Now, a reminder that the Brewers tomorrow still are waiting on the Abner Uribe suspension appeal. I don't know what's taking so long. But when that day comes, the Brewers have to play a man short. So, with the move of Rob Zastrzyzny going back on the IL and Robert Gasser coming up to make a spot start, do you have to make another roster move to get a bullpen arm into that arm? Probably not, given that you had Chad Patrick go four innings today. So that is super important to keep in mind. And then maybe they bring an arm with them on the road to Colorado, because crazy things happen in Colorado. But the Brewers are in the middle of their first real long stretch of the season. One more week of games. They're in the middle of 13 in a row. And then they'll have that 17 in a row to close out the first half leading into the All-Star break. So, that is going to do it for our program here tonight. My thanks to Jerry Augustine. And for you to listening, after a 1-0 loss, you wanted to hang out with us in the postgame. So, I appreciate every single one of you. My name is Dominic Catronio. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. Remember, you can follow on Instagram, DomCBaseball. You can follow on Twitter at Dom_Catronio. I just found out it was my 14th anniversary on Twitter today. Yikes! Way too much time wasted there. That's going to do it. I'll see you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.
Summer at the ballpark. There's nothing like it.